Radio exists. I am Daniel Frankel, the host of Fan Cave Radio. Alongside me is Keith McPherson.
How's it going? Let's go Yanks.
And Ben D. Barker.
That's right. First show. Here we go.
Representing the Red Sox is Ben. I represent the Mets here in the Fan Cave. You can find me on Twitter at Stan Kankles. Same thing for the Instagram. You guys want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Absolutely. As you mentioned, Dan, big Red Sox fan here. You can find me on Twitter at Ben D. Barker. Same for Instagram. And, of course, always check out our website, MLBFanCave.com, where we're always blogging and putting up the latest.
Blog Wizard.
Baseball story.
Blog Wizard. Blog it up, Ben.
Blogosaurus Rex.
Yankees Universe. I'm at Keith McPherson, first and last name, Instagram, Twitter.
Awesome. Now, Ben, last week you had probably one of the worst weeks in the cave ever.
Yeah.
You didn't see a Red Sox win. This week, you didn't see a Red Sox loss.
Dan, let me just tell you, it wasn't just the Red Sox that were losing. I don't think I won at anything for like a week and a half. The Red Sox lost 10 straight. I didn't win a game of ping pong.
Nope.
MLB The Show, I could not win. Couldn't even make a trade. Couldn't buy a win. But you know what?
You're a pretty grumpy guy, too, when things aren't going your way.
Yeah, man. Things have to be going right.
It's a little scary. Everybody's on edge in the cave, like texting each other, like, hopefully we're all safe at home. We lock our doors when we get back home at night.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's scary with Ben. Nah, we're just messing around. But that kind of brings me to playoff predictions here. I want to get your take on, it's already June now, who you guys see is coming out of each division. So let's start in the AL, and let's start with you guys, the AL East.
You know, AL East is a tricky one, man. Right now,
It looks like the Blue Jays, but
yeah, we're still,
I don't see that holding.
Listen, I think the Blue Jays, half of the Blue Jays are for real. If it were my up to me, I think that their offense is legitimate.
Burley's 10-1.
I know. Burley's throwing really well, but it takes more than one arm to get you into the playoffs.
Right.
I just don't see, Mark Burley continuing this pace he's on. I mean, he's throwing like 26-year-old Mark Burley right now. And I just don't think they have the pitching depth. Now, listen, the Red Sox lost 10 games in a row. I think they're going to be in the mix when we hit Brock Holt. But not even Brock Holt. It's organizational depth. They had two call-ups from the minor leagues in Brendan Workman and Ruby De La Rosa. They both have provided, unbelievable starts. Workman was solid in both of his starts, and De La Rosa was just, he just shined in his start the other day.
So. Keith, I think the
AL East is too tight to call. A crazy month for the Blue Jays, the month of May, with Encarnacion and the rest of them.
Joey Bats, Melky, Reyes.
You don't really think about who had a crazy month of May when October comes. So, that's too close to call. In the AL in general, I think the A's, this might be their year to actually complete it and do it.
Heading out west, we got the A's and the Angels kind of battling along with the Mariners there in sight. I think the A's have this one easily.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, I picked the Angels to win the AL West, and I'm going to stick with them because that was my preseason prediction, and they've played good baseball to this point.
Yeah, they're playing very well.
Obviously, coming off a sweep from Oakland, that's not good. That's not what you want to see. They were within striking distance heading into that series. This is going to set them back a little bit, but I think the talent on that team is enough to kind of compete all year long. We'll see what happens. Oakland, you can't say enough about that organization. The amount of smart baseball people in there is just insane. They seem to always come up with great pitching every single season. And
yeah, their series against the Tigers that they just had was really impressive to see how they handled them and their lineup, which has been pretty good. And the Tigers kind of reeled off, I think, 11 road wins, but then they slumped a little bit and they're going through it, but next to the A's, you can look at the Tigers as possibly a team to come out of the American League, too.
And that brings us to the Central. We got the Tigers, White Sox, the possibility. The Twins have been playing very good baseball as of late. I think this is the Tigers' division to lose with the pitching staff that they have of Verlander, Scherzer, Anibal Sanchez, Drew Smiley. It's a good four. Yeah, Rick Porcello is playing great baseball this year. Mm-hmm. So we all think that the Tigers are going to come out of the Central. Last but not least, your two wild card picks. Fire them out.
I think
Angels.
One of the wild cards is going to come out of the AL East. The other is going to come out of the AL West. I think you're going to see one playoff team from the Central, and that's going to be the Tigers.
They could be two AL East wild cards.
They very well could be. Yeah. And essentially, the AL West is a two-team race at this point. I don't think that Seattle's going to make a legitimate run towards the end of the year, so I think it's going to be between the A's and the Angels. So now we're looking at possibly, as you said, Dan, three teams coming out of the American League East, which is what I thought it was going to be last year.
Could you imagine the Yankees playing the Red Sox in a one-game playoff game?
It'd be amazing.
No.
Not in this case. It would not be amazing for any of us. I'd be scared.
Anytime the Red Sox and Yankees match up in the playoffs, it just makes for phenomenal baseball. And you'd most likely be looking at a matchup between Tanaka and John Lester if that were the case.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be a crazy matchup.
Yeah. Tanaka's splitter has been disgusting.
Yep.
All right, so that brings me to now sign one, trade one, and make a coach. So what I'm going to ask you guys here is three players. They all have a similar theme, whether it's they steal bases, they're pitchers, they're power hitters. This week's is power hitters. You guys need to decide whether you want to sign one. You have to sign one, you have to trade one, and you have to make one a coach. So the three players are Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Abreu, and Giancarlo Stanton. Now, if you're listening and you want to be out there on Twitter, shoot at the MLB Fan Cave who you think that we should sign, trade, or make a coach. Keith, you're up first.
I'm going to make Encarnacion my coach. Just based off of age. This is tough. They're all great hitters. Based off of age, and he'd be the hitting coach. I would trade Stanton. I think Stanton actually will get traded eventually. And I'm going to sign Abreu. Even let's say he's healthy. He's having a ridiculous year. You want to sign that guy. It's his first year in the league. You want to keep him for years to come.
He's going to be back tomorrow on the field, which will be exciting.
Great to see him back. I actually agree with Keith on the coaching decision. Edwin Encarnacion, I think, is the eldest of the three. Had the most experience
eldest.
In this league. You like that?
I do like eldest. That. Eldest.
Thank you.
Lord of the Rings references.
The elder one. He's
oh, that's Harry Potter.
Yeah, HP. He's got the most experience in this league. I think he's probably seen the most. So I'd make him my coach, but I would sign Stanton. I think he has the most pure talent of the three. He's had a ridiculous season to this point. I would definitely sign Stanton. And, I mean, I would not want to, but if, you know, my hands are tied and I have to trade one, it's got to be Abreu. You can probably get a few, you know, top prospects for Abreu at this point.
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm going to have to agree with Keith here. I just think you can get more for Stanton in a trade.
Yeah.
And I see that the Marlins in the future will probably trade him. I know you want the Red Sox to get him.
Man, I'll tell you what. We need some right-handed power in that lineup. And
it would fit nicely.
If anyone has the prospects to make a move, it's the Red Sox. Their farm system is just bursting at the seams right now. I love the homegrown talent. I absolutely do. If there's one guy in the league that I would move them for, that's him. That's Stanton. I mean, think about that guy in Fenway Park.
So percent chance that Stanton becomes a Red Sox in the next 2 years.
Not high enough.
Put a number on it. 10%?
In the next 2 years, let's say, you know what? The Red Sox have been known to pull some strings in the past. I think this number is going to come down a little bit because of what happened after they made the trade for Adrian Gonzalez, having to move him again within the next few years. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to move it down. I would say if this was 3 years ago, I'd put it at 25%. I'm going to put it at 15%
now. All right. Fair assessment there, Ben. Coming up after our commercial break, we're going to take a look at the NL playoff predictions as well as Spanish class with Cesar the Marlins fan, which is something you don't want to miss, so we'll be right back.
Where can you see David Price dump a bucket of milk on his own head? Only on MTV2's Off the Bat, every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. When the games are over, make sure you turn the channel over to MTV2's Off the Bat.
Off the Bat starts Tuesdays. Yo tengo mi gusto queso, Spanish class of X Caesar.
I don't think that's right, Ben, but you can get a full lesson in Spanish from Cesar Pichardo himself, the world's most famous Marlins fan, every week on MLB Fan Cave Radio. Spanish class with Cesar, only on MLB Fan Cave Radio.
We're back from commercial break. Those are some commercials we got there, guys. I don't know who makes those.
I don't know. Whoever does is just...
Those guys are funny, let's just say that.
Talented.
Great work.
And maybe they watch a lot of baseball.
They might.
So speaking that we watch a lot of baseball, we want to talk about our NL playoff predictions. Ben, who do you like coming out of my NL East?
NL East, Dan, I'd love to say the Mets. I really would.
So say it. Just say it.
I don't think it's going to happen. Listen, Atlanta's a good team, but I'm sticking with my preseason prediction
Mets.
Once again. The Washington Nationals, I think they're going to make a really big run towards the end of the year. We talked about pitching depth. I think they have that. Picking up Doug Fister was huge for them. He's looked good since coming back from the injury.
You're putting me to sleep. Just go with the Mets, man.
I'm sorry. All right, man. Listen, I do want the Mets, though, as one of my wild cards.
I know you like
when
the
we
Mets.
Get there, when we get
Tell
there.
Everyone who your favorite Met is.
My favorite Met's
Tell
Lucas Duda, man.
Lucas Duda.
He's my guy.
Big
Luke Duda.
Big two-run home run today to give the Mets the lead. I like the Mets coming out of the NL East. If it's not the Mets, I see it being the Braves. They had a nice sweep over the Marlins, and they're starting to hit their stride. Keith, who do you like coming out of the NL East?
My favorite Met is...
Oh,
wait for
No
it.
Dead air.
That's exactly who it is. No.
Got me.
I see the Nats coming out. You
Health
said,
is huge.
With the pitching depth. Even though Strasburg seems to kind of be off and on, Tanner Roark, Pfister, they still have the pitching to do it.
If Strasburg comes here, I'll just play that clip that you just said.
If you think about
it, tends to be off and on.
If you think about
it, off and on, but
listen,
he's 4-4, I think, right now.
And the thing about Washington is, even if Strasburg isn't at that ace level that he wants to be, the depth that they have in that rotation, Doug Pfister, Zimmerman, Strasburg, Gio Gonzalez, I mean, that's
a
really
rotation.
Solid 1-4.
On paper. On paper.
On paper it is, yeah.
Right, so I see the Nats coming out of the NL East.
Okay, moving on to the Central. Milwaukee right now is a 4-game lead over the Cardinals. I don't love the Cardinals as a team, but I love the way they play, and they'll be there in the end. Yeah. I'm going with the Cardinals.
I'll tell you what, if this kid Oscar Tavares is the real deal, that's going to help them out a lot. I think they were bottom five in baseball in home runs this year. He comes in his very first game and hits a home run. That crowd was going absolutely nuts. They need some power in that lineup, and it looks like he might be the guy to provide it. Their pitching is good. Adam Wainwright's been phenomenal this year. Michael Wacha looks like he's the real deal. So if they can get a little bit of pop into that lineup, start hitting a little bit, I think they'll end up reeling in Milwaukee and taking the Central once again.
I don't know. I think I'm going to give this one to the Brew Crew.
Brew Crew.
Shout out to the guys in Miller Park. I've had a lot of fun watching them this year, and props for what they did against the Orioles.
Any chance for Cincinnati or Pittsburgh to make a late run?
I don't know. I mean, I think if it was going to be one of those two teams, it would be Cincinnati. But again, I think that they kind of are going to have to make a move. I think even Milwaukee, if they want to win that division and they want to make the playoffs, we're going to be looking at some kind of a trade deadline acquisition. I think by the time the deadline rolls around, if St. Louis hasn't taken over first place, they're going to be nipping right at the heels of the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Brewers are prime contenders to make some kind of a trade. You hear names floating around there like Jeff Samardzija. He could be a guy, although the Cubs might not want to trade him within the division.
Trade.
But, listen, if it's a guy who's going to become a free agent, they're going to take the best offer.
And last but not least, the NL West has the best record in baseball belonging to the San Francisco Giants. We have both the Cave Dweller girls represented. Angela is a Giant fan. You also have the Dodgers represented by Serena. Who do you guys like coming out of the West?
This one's tough. I mean, the Giants are the best team in baseball right now. And
somehow.
They're really not showing any signs of slowing down. But when you look at that team on paper, I don't know if they have the staying power. They've had guys overperform this year. And listen, the Red Sox won the World Series last year solely because guys overperformed
right. And
played, beyond what people expected them to. So I'm not saying that's impossible, but it's not typical. I think eventually the Dodgers are going to end up reeling them in. It's going to be a really tight race. They're back 7 games right now, so it's going to be tough to reel them in. But I think the Dodgers end up taking the West.
They need to just stay in range.
Yep.
They understand that the Giants are playing out of this world right now, but if they can keep it, like you said, around 7 to 8 games, and then they'll hit their stride.
Yep.
And play some great baseball, they'll be right there in the end. The Rockies have kind of fallen off as of late, losing 4 straight. I love the Rockies coming out of the gate. Tulo, Kadire, Cargo, Arenado getting hurt is a huge loss. Any chance the Rockies can be there in October?
I mean, we talked about this when we were in Arizona. The Rockies' offense looks really nice. It's their pitching that I don't think is going to be able to hang around, and it's kind of showed that. If they're a team that thinks that they can actually compete, you might see them move a couple people to try to pick up an arm. But I think this is going to be a two-team race between the Giants and the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think the Rockies will steal some games, but like Ben said, it's a two-team race. And shout out to our Cave ladies. It's going to get real interesting late summer when we're looking at the Dodgers and the Giants. I personally would rather see the Dodgers. I like watching both teams, and this year I've seen more Dodgers and Giants games than ever. But what I think is that the Dodgers will pull it off just when it's time. They just have that Hollywood performance type of team. They have the pitching, they have the hitting, and I think when it comes down to it, the Dodgers will edge them out.
Dan. I think the biggest key to the Dodgers, with all the talent that they have on that roster, when you look at it on paper, I mean, it almost looks like an all-star team through and through. But the most underrated part about the Dodgers is their team chemistry. You see those guys in the dugout before and after the game joking around with each other. They all seem to really like each other. That kind of big three, which wouldn't be your typical big three when you think of the Dodgers, but Uribe, Ryu, and Puig.
Hilarious.
They're the three best friends that anyone has ever had. These guys have so much fun.
Puig is absolutely hilarious. But hit me, you guys, with your wild cards real quick.
Wild cards for the National League, for me, are going to be either the Dodgers or Giants. I had the Dodgers winning, so Giants will be the first wild card. The second one's tough. You know, I want to say the Mets, Dan. I really do. Yeah, I just don't think...
You don't have to. I would like you to.
We've got Matt Harvey coming back. He said he wanted to pitch in August. Is that true?
About eight starts.
We have zero love for the Marlins. No one thinks the Marlins can come out of the East and get
Marlins
a wild card.
The Marlins are another team that could.
We'll get Caesar in the radio studio in a minute.
I don't think so either.
I gotta say, the National League's second wild card spot is the toughest one to predict. There's so many guys that... Or so many teams, excuse me, that could make that push. But if, you know, if I had to make that decision, I think I'm going to go with Atlanta, because I do have Washington winning the NL East, so I think Atlanta's going to hang around.
I like Giants and Brewers.
Giants and Brewers, okay.
Brewers
with the Giants winning that one. All right, let's get Cesar in the radio studio now, Spanish class time. Cesar, come on in.
Hey, guys, thank you for having me.
Hey, Cesar!
Welcome, welcome.
The famous Marlins fan.
Most famous Marlins fan.
Hitting a rough stretch right now.
Yeah, it's pretty tough right now, but...
Tough. Yeah. You sound down. You got to cheer yourself up a little bit.
Yeah, we had a chance to have first place, so... Stuck in second.
Hey, you'll bounce back.
Second place isn't a bad place to be.
No, not bad, especially at this point of the year. What was your record last year on June 1st?
15-30.
Not too good. Anyway, you got Spanish class, so hit us with some baseball terminology that we can use later on in the cave and our listeners can use when they're out and about with their friends.
All right, so today I'm going to teach you guys different types of hits. We're going to start out with a single, double, triple, and home run. So... Single in Spanish is sencillo.
Ooh.
Sencillo.
Sencillo.
Is that right? We're saying that right?
Sencillo.
How do you spell that?
Sencillo.
Sencillo. I really don't know.
C or an S. You don't know?
It's with us.
He's not a literature teacher.
No, he doesn't need to spell it. But
I'll teach you how to say it.
Sencillo.
Sencillo.
I'm going to get hooked on phonics for this whole cave. Okay, next one, double.
Hooked on Mexico
didn't work for me. The double, eh?
Hey, the double is double.
You taught us that one.
Yeah. Double.
Yeah, so we have Marcelo Zuna always hitting a bunch of doubles.
And home runs.
Brock Holt hit four doubles for the
Red
Sox.
Four doubles?
Yeah. Tying a double record.
That's right. Wow.
Yes, four doubles.
I'm excited about Brock Holt and the Red Sox. He's been great since coming up.
He sure has. Exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Especially if he's hitting those.
And if he hits a triple, it's called what? Triple.
Ooh. Triple.
I can't roll my R like that.
It's spelled exactly the same as triple.
Really?
No accents?
A cedilla?
That'll be an accent on the E.
What kind?
Tilde.
You look at me like I'm
Daniel, great. I believe it's called the tilde.
Oh, a tilde.
Something like that.
You don't even know?
I don't even know.
Back to the hooked on bombing.
A home run is actually kind of tricky. Some people like to say home run.
Okay, I can do that.
Which is just home run. Or you can say the correct way and say cuadrangular.
Ooh.
Cuadrangular.
There you go.
Cuadrangular.
Pretty good.
Is that good?
That's great.
Cuadrangular.
So let's just recap real quick.
So, single, sencillo.
Okay.
Sencillo.
Double, double.
Double.
Triple, triple.
Triple.
And home run, cuadrangular.
Cuadrangular.
Yeah.
Make sure you practice these with your friends and tweet at Cesar at Pichardo1468 if you have any Spanish questions for him or you think you have some good words for him to teach on the podcast next week. Cesar, thanks for coming in the studio for class.
Thank you for having me. I'll make sure to look up the spelling for sencillo.
Thank you.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Next week, find out how to spell sencillo.
And if there's an accent on a triple.
I believe it is, and I believe it's called a triple.
All right, guys, thank you.
Tilde. Thank you, Cesar. We got to take a commercial break here on Fan Cave Radio. Coming up next, we got our out of here moments, things that are just absolutely crazy going on in baseball, so stick around.
If you're looking for some baseball, where do you go? You just click on the link to Fan Cave Radio.
We're back from commercial break here on Fan Cave Radio. Alongside me is Ben Barker and Keith McPherson. We're ready for out of here moments, moments that were just crazy in baseball, things that happen on and off the field. The first one I want to talk about is Bartolo Colon when he bats, carries a bat, swings bunts, pretty much anything he does.
The one that got lost in this was with the runner on third when he swung at a pitch that was, I believe, in the dirt. And his helmet came down over his eyes. The runner from third broke home
because
the ball got away. But Bartolo didn't know the runner was coming.
Almost cost us a run.
Because his helmet was down over his eyes. So he pulls up his helmet and sees a guy barreling down on him and kind of freaked out and got out of the way. That was just hilarious.
The best was him carrying his bat.
All the way to first base.
Took the bat all the way to
Little League.
Took the bat all the way to first base.
He was interviewed after the game and he asked, why do you carry the bat all the way to first base? And his response was simply, I feel like it's less work for the bat boy if I just bring it back.
Just Bartolo, always thinking about others.
Bartolo being Bartolo.
That's right, Bartolo being Bartolo.
I love when he gets out. out of the way of the pitch that's outside, and then he acts like he sucks in his stomach and acts like it's a pitch inside,
yeah, yeah.
But it's like 10 feet off the plate away from him. It's always hilarious.
I got a bold prediction. Bartolo Colon is going to hit a home run this year, and everybody is just going to lose it.
No.
Yeah. I would love to see
if he
it.
Gets a hit, let's start with a hit. Yes. Percent chance Bartolo can get a hit this year.
A single.
He'll get it.
Once, one single.
Start with a base hit.
You guys think he'll get it one hit?
I think he'll manage.
He looks totally lost up there.
I think he's going to get more than one hit this year.
He'll manage. Awesome.
You guys are talking crazy. Talking absolutely crazy. Something crazy that happened was the hidden ball trick. The Florida Gators pulling that off in the College World Series. You guys get to see that?
Yeah, that was...
In a regional game.
I don't know how I feel about the hidden ball trick. I feel like it's a little cheap. I've seen it done. I know it's been done on the MLB level as well. I just feel like, listen... You got a guy at the plate. You got a guy in the mound. Get him out, you know, the way it's supposed to be done.
I don't know. If you can pull it off, why not do it?
I haven't seen
everyone's awareness has to be, oh, if you can pull it off, pull it off. They did it in a regional game. That's high-level competition.
And I don't even think they advanced out of their region, and they're the number two team in the country. And that's the other thing. When you're that good, there's no need to do the hidden ball trick.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean... Listen, I guess you get outs whatever way you can. I know Mike Lowell did it years ago. I know that it's not... in that unwritten rule of baseball or anything. I just don't love it. I feel like if somebody tried the hidden ball trick against your team, but I just feel like that would be something that would kind of upset a team. Be
oh,
like,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Kind of like, all right, what are you trying to pull here?
Yeah.
Who do you think we are? Because it's almost, especially if it doesn't work, if they don't get you, it's
yes.
almost insulting. Like, what do you think? We're just going to walk off the bag? You don't think we know where the ball is? But I guess when it works, you really can't say anything.
Something else wacky that happened yesterday was Marlon Byrd's bat completely breaking without touching the ball. I've never seen that before in my life.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible. I mean, it broke off right at the handle, which
means his hands broke it?
Yeah, is that strong?
I remember my dad telling me a story from when I was younger about Jim Rice checking his swing, not making contact with the ball in the bat.
Like going flying.
Splitting in half, which kind of just shows how strong, you know, the guy's forearms are to be able to kind of stop that much torque in a way that would break the bat. Now, this wasn't... Marlon Byrd actually swung the bat fully. There was no check
swing.
He just took a swing.
Bat went flying.
So I wonder if the bat was splintered in a way that he couldn't see or something like that.
It was
very,
very
strange to see. But
the Mets pulled out the W.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
They did.
Although that was very, very cool. The Mets have the will to win. Lately, we've won 5 of 6 with the new hitting coach so far.
There you go.
And we're looking to take 4 or 5 from the Phils. Last but not least, I want to talk about Joey Bats. Throwing out 2 guys at first base in back-to-back days. I hadn't seen someone thrown out at first base in forever.
Yeah.
And then Joey Bats goes ahead and does it twice. The first one was against Billy Butler. And Butler's not that fleet of foot, not that fast. And Bautista.
Gone.
Yeah, I think this was almost set up. Encarnacion was ready for it. Like,
yeah.
They had planned this. Like, if something like this were to happen.
I want to say this happened in the top of the ninth. I was pretty jacked up when I saw this. And the Royals, I think they came out on top in that game. Maybe they lost that game. I'm not sure, but... I was jacked up when I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Joey Bats was definitely ready for it. He gunned him down, and you knew Butler wasn't going to make it. Like, you could see it developing.
And
now, sorry. I mean, that one was legit. That was a base hit.
Yeah.
The second one, as you'll explain, Dan, was a little bit less traditional.
Yeah, Omar Infante thought that he had fouled it off for whatever reason, didn't even look at the ball, and then eventually when he saw that it landed in fair territory, Joey Bats is already getting his gun ready to throw to first.
Yeah, the more incredible thing about this play was how impressive it was that Joey Bats was able to slide and pick that ball in the short hop.
Yeah.
He came in like he was trying to catch the ball, realized that he couldn't. He had already gone into the slide, so he had to kind of side pick it on the short hop, which was really the better play, because once he did that, all he had to do was get up and throw the ball to first, and Fonte was, you know, nowhere near the bag at that point.
And we're hitting our break time here on Fan Cave Radio. Stick around. We got our segment called Snackin' with Stan. That's Stanton Jones, the White Sox fan. He's going to tell you all the things that are going on in the cave in terms of food, in terms of fitness. It's something you don't want to miss, so keep it here.
Fan Cave Radio!
Fan Cave Radio!
Fan Cave Radio!
Fan Cave Radio!
I love me some.
Fan Cave Radio.
Keep it here on Fan Cave Radio Podcast.
Welcome back to MLB Fan Cave Radio. We're here now with Stanton
Fan
Jones.
Cave Radio.
That's right, Fan Cave Radio here with Stanton Jones. Stanton, you
That's
know your segment.
Smile.
Snacking with Stanton.
Yeah, guys, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah,
how are
good.
You, Stanton?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty full right now.
All right.
A week of snacking.
Why don't you tell us what filled you up?
Let me tell you guys. So this past Thursday, we had an art gallery event.
Mm.
And,
sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. So they had a lot of these little hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, hors d'oeuvres. Starts with an H.
Hors d'oeuvres. No, it's actually pronounced hors d'oeuvres.
It's a soft H or a silent H?
It's a soft
H. It's a lowercase H, like Darno.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, there
it's
you go.
Arno.
Just like that.
Darno is Arno.
So it was great. So they had some chicken tacos, Arno. And corn dogs. And they had like these little mini pulled pork sandwiches. Mm. But let me tell you about these chicken tacos. It was like you took a bite in them, and it was just like the flavor just like exploded. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. I definitely highly recommend them. I think it was actually the second or third time we've had them this year so far in the Fan Cave, and it's just been phenomenal.
Were they spicy at all?
A little bit. They had just
you don't eat spicy.
All right, Stanton, we're going to break out the jalapeno scale.
Okay.
1 to 5, how many jalapenos?
This is the first ever jalapeno scale ever on Fan Cave Radio.
1 to 5, I'm going to give this a 2.
Yeah,
a
2. It wasn't that spicy.
Two jalapenos.
Now, it wasn't that spicy, but it had just enough flavor in it to where it kind of gave you a little bit of that
Okay. Mm. All right. Stanton, are you a guy who likes a spicy? If you were to give, I guess, your optimal jalapeno level, what would it be?
Jalapeno level is not a real thing, just so we're clear.
It is now.
It's called, there's an actual scale that determines how hot something is.
On Fan Cave Radio, it's the jalapeno scale.
Absolutely. I think my ideal jalapeno level, that's where, or jalapeno scale,
right,
would be around 3.5. So 3 full jalapenos and then a half. Jalapeno.
That's just tough. You lose a lot of seeds when you cut that half one. That's where all the spice is.
That's true. Jalapeno. But I want to get some of those seeds in there. Just a little bit of just 3.5.
Let's stay on track here, Stan. You're
absolutely
here for ballpark food of the week.
Yes, I am.
Which club are you going with?
So for the first week, I think I'm gonna have to keep it at home in Chicago at the Cell. My mom sent me
prison cell.
The actual not
prison
cell. You're a good one, Mr.
Oh, I am a good one.
So they have a full-size batting helmet. And within that batting helmet, they fill it
up.
Is that
the one you were wearing?
Ice cream sundae. That's the one I was actually wearing this past Friday. So I'm going to fill that up with my very own sundae, and I'm going to attempt to eat it. Now, they say at the cell it's 3 pounds.
3 pounds.
So I'm going to have to make a 3-pound sundae.
It's a small baby.
And eat it all.
So you're going to eat it all yourself?
I'm gonna attempt to.
I've seen Stan eat a lot. He had like 12 or 15 pieces of sushi the other day.
Yes, I had 15
pieces
of sushi.
Which is not that much.
It was fantastic. Let me tell you about
that. That was your first sushi
experience.
That was
my first sushi experience, and it was phenomenal. Had a California roll, had a tuna roll.
You're in a good mood.
Highly recommend it.
Now listen, Stanton, I know you just said that you were somebody who likes, you know, you equated yourself to a 3.5 jalapeno on the jalapeno scale kind of guy.
Absolutely.
But what happened when you put that wasabi in your mouth?
Oh, man, let me tell you. Now, we're off the charts here on the jalapeno.
What about the wasabi scale from 1 to 10?
Yes, wasabi scale was like a 20. And let me tell you. It was dangerous. I instantly felt my sinuses just all of a sudden clear. Sinuses I didn't even know I had. Just all of a sudden
extra
just started,
sinus.
Just started oozing out. So luckily we had
that's
milk.
A sight.
Luckily we had milk in the cave, so I was able to drink some milk. We were A-okay. Everything turned out all right.
Well, that's good to
hear. I love wasabi.
Absolutely.
I know you do.
I put it on really anything if I can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of different, I guess, different maturity levels of taste buds within the cave. We've got... Listen, me, I don't consider myself picky, but one thing that's very strange about me, and I'll put this out there on air, I don't eat lettuce. I can't eat lettuce. That completely eliminates...
Tweeted Ben with just pictures of lettuce.
No,
he loves getting that.
I hate it.
Benjamin Barker.
I wish I liked lettuce. It completely eliminates salads from my choice.
You need your greens.
That's like a whole huge part of menus that is just gone.
It's gone. It's unfortunate. I feel
less
like,
reading for you, at least, which is always nice.
I feel
that's
like
true.
I'm at a huge disadvantage. But... Then we've got people like, you know, Caesar, who has kind of his niche that he likes to go to.
The eclectic palate.
Spanish rice, typically.
Yes. Every day. Oh, my God.
Plantains. Yes, yes.
And then you've got Angela, who essentially just eats
kale.
Grass and seaweed.
Yes.
And
I've never
things.
Seen someone eat so much grass.
She the other day was drinking this hot ginger drink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I remember our fellow cave dweller, Mike Bowling.
Mike tried it.
He tried it. Yeah. And his reaction was priceless, let me tell you.
And you can actually see that. There's a video on Angela's Instagram.
Angela Lauren 1
on Instagram. She uploaded a video of Mike trying her concoction. I mean, I would say her diet is closer to a cow's than it is to mine.
That's very true. She likes all those earthy products.
Earthy, grainy, grassy type foods.
We're hitting our 30-minute mark. I gotta let you go. Thanks for stopping.
Yo, you guys,
studios.
I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Before I go, I got to tell you guys, make sure for this week, you guys do your calf raises.
Calf raises.
We're trying to stay in shape here in the cave, so make sure you guys do it. We've been skipping leg day a little bit.
I'll do it right now.
But we gotta work out our calves. Go ahead and get that.
A calf raise, is that when you pick up like a baby cow?
No.
I see what you did there.
Put on the chain. You guys, I really appreciate it.
Hit us with the sounds.
Guys, I really appreciate it. I'll be seeing you guys later in the cave.
Take care, Stanton. We're wrapping up the show here, which means the wrap up. We got Ben Barker, Keith McPherson here. Guys, what do we have coming up this week in the Fan Cave?
Josh Donaldson on the way. The Yankees play the A's, and Oakland will be in town for off the bat. And some other stuff with.
I'm looking forward to meeting Donaldson.
Yeah, he's had an incredible year. He seems like a really down-to-earth kind of guy. Just a great, kind of gritty player. I mean, everyone on Oakland.
Gritty haircut.
That category.
The haircut is interesting. I'm going to have to ask him about that.
It's definitely interesting. We might have to put him in the off-the-top barbershop and see if he'll adjust his.
That could be a good video segment. Make sure you check out all the videos that we're doing. They'll be on MLBFanCave.com as well as our own personal Instagrams and Twitters. The most recent one we did was the Edwin Encarnacion Chicken Wing Tribute. So next week, I think we got one loaded up for the Oakland A's, which would be really cool. Ben, why don't you take us out with your classic raps?
The wrap up. Here we go.
Benny D! Oh, I like this beat, Benny D.
Custom beat.
Getting crazy. You made this beat?
It's been a crazy week, Dan.
Oh, this week was a wild one.
The West Coast leads the way, and that can't be silenced. Two red-hot teams in the A's and Giants. Josh D and Mike Morse are serving up bombs, and the pitching staff is stacked from the top to bottom. Let's take a trip north. There's a lot going on. All the Toronto's on the feet for Edwin Encarnacion. 16 home runs in May. The man can really bring it. April didn't go so well, so he decided to wing it. Little history was made at Citizens Bank Park. Dodgers got what they needed when Beckett gave him a spark. Ninth inning, two outs. He avoided the jitters. Congrats to Josh Beckett for tossing a no-hitter. This week is in the books, but we got more to come. Plenty of records to be broken. More strikeouts and home runs. No doubt, this is a season that's forever engraved in our memories and hearts. We gone from the Fan Cave.
Oh, Benny D. Woo! Rushing the booth.
You know.
Rushing it. Awesome. Make sure to listen to Fan Cave Radio next week. Same time, same host. We'll catch you later.